And welcome to the inaugural episode of the Educate Your Travel podcast. My name is Jordan Carnes. I will be your host throughout this experience. Very quickly, before I send you off to the first episode, I'd really just like to try and convey what this podcast means to accomplish. Traveling is one of those experiences where you really just have to do it yourself. No amounts of documentaries, podcasts, or even picture albums can really convey the experience that that person who took that trip really felt and really accomplished. And so I would just really like to use this platform to encourage you to pick up a passport, pick up a couple airline flights, and to get up and go out and explore the world. Over the past couple of years, I've been to 27 countries, 44 states. I have been on close to 70 airline flights and driven countless miles. Each one of those experiences, I would not trade for anything. They have all been unique in and of themselves and have taught me a great deal. And so hopefully throughout sample itineraries, logistical information, and tips and tricks, I can encourage you enough to get up, get out, make your life interesting, and take that next adventure. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and send you off to my first episode, my very first solo trip to Paris, France. And welcome to the Educate Your Travel podcast. Once again, my name is Jordan Carnes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait to get into this episode, hopefully just invigorate you, get you excited about getting up, getting out, and traveling, exploring, and experiencing the world. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and quit talking so I can keep talking, and let's get into the episode. Okay, so Paris, France, you know, it's an amazing place to begin your solo travel adventures. You know, it's in Europe, which, especially if you're from the US, you know, it's pretty similar culture, atmosphere, everything like that. Paris already has such an amazing tourism base. So, you know, it's not like you're going to be the first foreigner to visit there. It's just a really awesome place to get your feet wet in the world of travel, international travel, and especially solo travel. And so, you know, I really am not sure why I chose Paris to be my first international solo trip. Actually, thinking back on it, I was really, you know, just one day, early March, it was 2018, I'd been teaching for a year and I was sitting there, spring break was coming up, I had my passport, I had money saved up to travel, and I was just like, let's do this. And so, for some reason, the Louvre and Paris just popped into my head and I went with it. And that's basically, all that it took. And I bought plane tickets that day. And you know, I was ready to rock and roll. So Paris is a great place. And there's so much to do there. I mean, no matter what you're into, whether it's art, whether it's history, whether it's culture, whether it's food, whether it's fashion, there is something for you. And something that will make your time there enjoyable and interesting. I went for a week. I went for spring break. And, you know, a week was a really good time, a really good amount of time to spend there. I never really felt like I was running out of things to do. I always had something planned and on my agenda. But at the same time, when I left after the end of a week, you know, I didn't really feel like there were things that I hadn't had time to get to. Now, I'm not saying that if I had spent 2 weeks, I wouldn't be able to fill all of those days. I'm just saying that a week is a solid amount of time to get a lot done, especially if you're willing to put in some long days and see a lot throughout each day, just jam-pack your days full. But I think it's a great amount of time to see this city. So jumping right into the itinerary, obviously, there's tons of things to do. This is just my opinion, and these are the things that I did while I was there. I'm more of a history buff, and so my itineraries are definitely going to lean more towards history, museums, archaeological sites, things like that. And so, if that's not your thing, definitely take what I say with a grain of salt, and you might want to go to one less museum and see something different or whatever. This is mainly just sort of a backbone, tips and tricks that I picked up along the way. So I'm kind of just condensing all that information here for you. So definitely, just kind of take what you want from this, and use this sort of as a base guide for your own travel. I'm definitely going to mispronounce a word or two. So I will link or put my itinerary in the description so that if I totally butcher something, you can go down there and you can read it for yourself. So I'm gonna just start off with probably one of the largest tourist attractions in Paris, and that's the Louvre. Now, the Louvre is huge. It's one of the old royal like palaces, and this thing is packed with stuff. I've read so many pieces of data, and so many random facts about the Louvre, about how long it would take you to see every item. And it's like it would take you like a lifetime to literally spend like 5 seconds at every item that the Louvre has to offer. It's crazy. And I honestly, to this day, do not know if I even, walked through every portion of the Louvre, and I spent a ton of time there. There's just multiple floors, and there's so many different random rooms and nooks and crannies. But my one tip for the Louvre, is to, break up your visits. Most of the time, when you go to a museum, you go one time and you cross it off your list. I'm gonna suggest that you go multiple times throughout your trip. And the way to make this economically feasible, because a Louvre ticket is like $15, $20, I'm gonna mention this a couple times throughout the podcast today, is to buy the Paris Museum Pass. The Paris Museum Pass has about 50 different museums on it. It's a one-time fee. And you can use that, to skip lines at certain museums, and then for entrance tickets. And so the Louvre is on this Paris Museum Pass, obviously. And I would go, I went 5 times in 6 days, and I would spend about 2.5 to 3 hours each time, and I'd go to a different section of the Louvre each time that I went. And if I bought a $20 ticket to the Louvre and I had planned, like, okay, Monday I'm going to the Louvre and that's it, after 4 or 5 hours, I would have been totally exhausted of being at that museum. And, that happens to me a lot, whether it's a museum or an archaeological site. After I've been there for a while, I'm just over it and it kind of loses its appeal. And it's like after the 20,000th painting, you don't see anything special about it. And that's not something that I wanted to happen while I was visiting the Louvre. And so I was really glad that I bought that pass and was able to split up my time there and not feel guilty about, like I just spent $20 on this ticket and only spent 2 hours here and saw like 5 rooms. Like I was able to split that up, like I've said, and not feel bad about returning day after day because I'd already paid that one-time fee, and so I wasn't continually having to fork over $20 here, $20 there. And so it just made me feel a lot better about doing that multiple times. So I definitely recommend getting the museum pass and splitting up your time at the Louvre. Now, I'm also going to recommend when you go to the Louvre, and there's multiple entrances. The one most people think about is the one underneath the glass pyramid. That's like the main entrance. But that one usually has a line 1 mile long. And actually, if you, there's an escalator, probably, I don't know, 100 yards across the street, and it goes underground, and it goes into like sort of a shopping mall. And if you go down in that entrance, that'll take you underneath the pyramid, and you can go through the entrance there. And each time I went, there were absolutely no lines at that entrance, and so I just got right on through. And from all the research I did, it's like that most of the time. So definitely recommend, you know, take some photos at the glass pyramid entrance. But unless there's just no line there, I would recommend going through that sort of side entrance to get into the loop. One last tip about this museum before I move on is to don't be afraid to check out random, you know, kind of pick and choose what you see. Depending on the situation. So the first day I went was a Monday, and there was literally no one at the museum. And so I realized that I was like one of the only people there. And so I took advantage of that, and I went and saw the Mona Lisa. I saw some of the, you know, more famous statues. And especially for like the Mona Lisa, when I was in that room, there was like three or four other people in there with me. And so I was able to go right up to the banister, take a photo, and just kind of enjoy myself there. And then after I kind of pick and chose what I saw, then I was able to wander around some more and go explore. So then fast forward to my last day, which was a Saturday. And it was my last day at the Louvre, and I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and check out the Mona Lisa one more time. You know, it's my last day in Paris, so I just want to see it one more time. And I go in there, and this place is packed. I mean, I had to push and shove just to get halfway to the Mona Lisa. And if that had been my one experience in the Louvre, I really would have hated it. And I would have had very negative connotations and perceptions about the museum and about my time with the Mona Lisa and in the museum. But because I had had that experience earlier on in the week, I was really able to just appreciate that moment. And the only reason I had that moment is because I realized the situation and I made a beeline to the more important places in the museum. So don't feel like you have to like follow a specific route. If you realize, hey, there's no one else at the museum right now, take advantage of that and go see the things that you want to see. And then when it is more crowded, then you can kind of use that time to wander around the less or the more secluded areas of the museum. So a lot of tips about the Louvre. I'm going to go ahead and move on here. There's a couple more museums that I definitely recommend you going to. The Museum des Orangeries is pretty close to the Louvre, and it's where Monet has his water lily paintings. And it's really cool. It's a really small museum. It's like three rooms. Two of the rooms are oval. And Monet has painted his water lilies on the actual walls. And so it's a really nice, quiet, peaceful museum. Definitely recommend spending 15, 20, 30 minutes there if you really get caught up in it. You know, just enjoying the water lilies. After, you know, I was really not a huge fan of art before going to Paris. But after my time there, I really appreciated Monet and his artwork. And so Orangerie was a really peaceful, nice museum just to hang out at for a little while during the middle of the day. The last main museum I'm going to talk about, which is one of the more popular art museums in Paris, is Museum d'Orsay. And this is across the street from the Louvre. And it's in an old like railway metro train station. And it has quite a few Van Gogh paintings, quite a few Rodin statues and sculptures, and it's a really nice museum. That was one of my favorite places to go. I went there multiple times as well, and it's not too large. I would say it would take you maybe an hour and a half to see the whole thing. There's a lot of nice seating arrangements at that museum, so you can kind of just relax. I went after my day at Versailles, and so I was kind of tired, and so I was just able to sit there, enjoy the art. They have a huge glass clock that faces Sacré-Cœur, and so I just sat there one afternoon and sort of watched the sunset. It's a great view, It's a really nice place, once again, kind of just to hang out. And there's quite a few really nice art pieces there, to appreciate as well. So those are my three main museums that I really recommend, you taking time out of your trip to go see. Now, obviously, the Eiffel Tower has to be on this list. And I recommend going to the Eiffel Tower, in the daytime and also at night. I feel like there's two very different vibes, two very different atmospheres depending on when you go. If you go in the afternoon, in the morning, it's more of a park. There's going to be people, having picnics, walking their dogs, school field trips. There's going to be a lot of vendors out. But if you go at night, it's going to be, you're going to be able to enjoy the lights. There's going to be, people just strolling along, taking walks. There's random people selling champagne and roses. It's just a little bit more peaceful. And so I definitely would recommend going to experience both of those, situations. They're both unique, and they both really, add to that experience. So definitely recommend that. Now, one little controversial thing I'm going to throw in here, is whether or not to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower. A lot of people ask when I come back, did you go up in the Eiffel Tower? And I did not go up the Eiffel Tower. I heard a lot of different conflicting, opinions about this. It was pretty expensive. I heard the lines were a mess. And so that's just something that I really did not, feel as important at the time. If I went back, I might do it just to say I did it. But I really, I'm not sure, honestly, if I would or not. And the reason is because, besides what I just mentioned, if you go up there to get a good view of Paris, you want to see the Eiffel Tower when you see a nice layout of Paris, France. And if you're in the Eiffel Tower already, you're not going to be able to see the Eiffel Tower. So, that's just my opinion. I'm not really sure if it's worth it. If you've done it and you think it's worth it, or if you've done it and you think it's not worth it, let me know. I'd be interested to know the opinion of someone who has done it, what you think. So feel free to drop me a line and give me your opinion on whether or not you should go up in the Eiffel Tower, if it's worth it or not. Now, after that, I definitely recommend also Notre Dame. I have not done a ton of research on the situation and about how, the construction and everything, with Notre Dame is going. So I really doubt going into Notre Dame, especially climbing to the top, of Notre Dame is a possibility at the moment. But when that opportunity comes back around again, which hopefully it does, soon, definitely recommend taking advantage of that. Climbing to the top of Notre Dame was one of the cooler things that I did. At the time, it was free, and it definitely gave probably top two, of the best views of Paris, especially with the gargoyles up there and everything. It was just a classic Paris photo, and hopefully that becomes available very, very soon. And if it does, and if it's available, when you go, I definitely recommend climbing to the top. It's about 400, 500 stairs. Your legs will be burning by the time you get up to the top, but it's definitely worth it. And you can really stay up there as long as you want. And so, take a breather up there, spend, 30, 45 minutes just enjoying it, and you will not regret, that workout to get up to the top. So hopefully that'll become available soon, and I definitely recommend doing it, when it is. Now, close to Notre Dame on that little tiny island, is the concierge. The concierge is something that I hadn't necessarily planned for, when I initially, was writing up all my itineraries to go. But when I was walking to Notre Dame, I saw a sign for it. It was on my museum pass, and so it was sort of like, why not? It's kind of free at this point to go in. And so I went in, and it was very interesting. It was sort of like One of the last uses of it was like a cell for the royalty, the French royalty, before they went and beheaded them. And so, like, Marie Antoinette had her final cell there, and there was some history and just some cool facts about that place. So, while you're over there, stop in 15, 30 minutes. Definitely recommend that. It was very historically interesting. And so, if that's sort of in your wheelhouse, I definitely recommend that. Now, Sainte-Chapelle is sort of in that same little area. And Sainte-Chapelle is definitely top five favorite things in Paris. It is a church, and it's absolutely magnificent. It used to be the French royalty's like head church. It was like the Paris National Church or whatever back in the day before Notre Dame. And the sanctuary or the main chapel has floor to ceiling stained glass, and it has to be 30, 40 foot just encapsulating you in stained glass. And I think what really makes it so magnificent is sort of like the build up to get there. Because when you first walk in, there's some stained glass, but it's nothing really special. And then you have to walk up this really narrow, dark, dank, dusty staircase, like two flights of stairs. And then all of a sudden you go through this doorway and bam, you're just surrounded by this colorful, beautiful stained glass. And I honestly probably just stood in the middle of that room for 30 minutes, just in awe of what I was seeing. Absolutely spectacular. Top five, places to go, in my opinion, in Paris. And you should definitely add Sainte-Chapelle to your short list of things to do in Paris. Definitely recommend it. Now, I've already kind of mentioned this before, but the Sacré-Cœur is a church, and it's up on a hill, and it's actually at the highest point of elevation in Paris. This is the first place that I went to after I checked into my hotel when I went on my trip. It's quite a bit of a hike. There are trolleys that will meet you like halfway and take you up because it is a pretty steep hike. It's the highest place in Paris, so you're definitely walking up an incline. But it's a very pretty church. You can go in. Just the outside, it's gorgeous. It's all white, and there's some copper sculptures and things like that, or some metal sculptures. It's really cool. And you can also really, since you're so high up, you can kind of get your bearings of the city. There's a good view of Paris. And it kind of just helps you understand the layout. And I would definitely recommend going there, not only for that, but it is a nice church. It's a very recognizable place in the city. And so definitely a very cool, nice place to go. Next is the Arc de Triomphe, which is on the Museum Pass. The Arc de Triomphe is one of the sites that's open kind of late. In the city, I went at night, and you can climb up to the top of it. And if you've ever seen a map of Paris, the Arc de Triomphe is like in the middle of a roundabout, and there's like six or eight rows that just like go off of it, like in rays. And one of those is Champs-Élysées, which is, I think it's been called like the busiest road in the world or the prettiest road in the world, something like that. It has some distinction. But it's like the main boulevard in Paris. And so it's like coming straight at the Arc de Triomphe. So at night, it's really cool because the headlights and the taillights are all flashing and going. I don't think it would have quite the same effect in the daytime. So if you do go in the daytime, I would recommend going at night because I thought that was really awesome. Also, make sure you're up there on the hour so that you can see the Eiffel Tower's light show from there. You have a good view of it. And even though, I don't feel like the Eiffel Tower light show is something to write home about, it is pretty cool, all the flickering lights and everything. And you have a good vantage point up on the Arc de Triomphe, so you might as well stay there a few extra minutes and catch it while you're up there. So that's a pretty cool sight and one of the few places that's open late. And so I definitely take advantage of that. The Louvre is also open late a couple of nights out of the week, and so definitely hit up those late hours as well. Also, Rodin's museum is very cool. One of his more famous statues is the Thinker statue, and it's actually at his old house. And his garden in his backyard is just littered with all of his statues. There are some inside as well. It's really set up well, and it's a really pleasant museum to visit. So definitely would recommend going to the Rodin Museum. And close by to Rodin is Invalids, Napoleon's Tomb, and the Pantheon. Those are all, really quick stops, maybe 15, 20 minutes, but they're all, very European architecture. Napoleon's Tomb was very massive. I had no idea of what to expect when I went there, and it was really cool. There were a couple of school field trips, so I feel like that's probably a pretty popular place for them to go. So watch out for that. And then also Luxembourg Gardens is close by too. It's a very nice park. There's a huge fountain in the middle of it, and there's kids and adults racing boats, flying kites, things like that. There is a palace at Luxembourg Gardens, and I think you might be able to pay to go in, but it's not on the museum pass, so I did not do that. But if that's your thing, definitely check that out. Another interesting little quick stop you can make is De Rolle, and this is a taxidermy shop, and it's set up like a zoo almost. Like there's animals everywhere. There's elephants, there's giraffes, there's bison, there's cheetahs, there's lions. I stuck my head in there and was walking around and started pouring down raining. I ended up spending about an hour in there, and I was just fascinated the entire time. It was a really cool place, and I would definitely recommend wandering through and just checking out that store. It's really awesome. If you want to buy, some huge exotic animal, you can. Not exactly sure how you get that thing home. I think it might be kind of difficult, but you do you, if that's what you want. Also, Moulin Rouge is a very famous place to check out. I did not go inside. I did walk to it, took some photos from outside. Just one of those places to kind of check off, say that I'd seen it. But definitely, I would throw that on your itinerary to go see. There are a few little restaurant places. Berthelien is an ice cream place that was very good. Lost Falafels. Was one of my definitely cheapest meals, and one of the best meals I had in Paris. There was a line half a block long, but they got us out, got me in 5, 10 minutes, and I was out of there, and it was amazing. And definitely hit up all the pastry shops. They're everywhere. I would stop every morning for breakfast. You could get a fresh croissant and coffee for like 50 cents. I know on my way to the airport, I stopped in and bought a couple baguettes. And then just snacked on them the entire way home. And all the TSA agents were like, you should have bought more because it was so good. And I wish I could have just like gotten 50 of them, but I don't think that would have fit in my luggage. So also a day trip that I would definitely recommend from Paris is Versailles. That was another one of the royal palaces. I would expect it to take you maybe 6, 7 hours from Paris and back. I did take the metro there. It was pretty simple to figure out. It's the end of a line, so you kind of just get on one train, you ride it to the end, you get off, there's Versailles, you get back on and take it back. Wasn't too difficult to figure out. Like I said, I probably spent 5, 6 hours at Versailles. Definitely, you have to see the Hall of Mirrors. And kind of just wander through the palace. But for sure, you need to check out the gardens. That's probably just as beautiful as the inside of the palace, in my opinion. When I was there in March, not all of the fountains were going at that time. I guess it was too early in the season. So if you go in the summer, I would fully expect all of the fountains to be going, and that would have to be extra beautiful. But even so, some of the main ones were going, and it was really nice just to wander around. I think I walked 15 or 20 miles that day. I was exhausted by the time I got back, but definitely a great place to visit on a day trip out of the city. So really, I think that kind of wraps up all of the places that I went to for the most part. There were a couple of small museums. I believe I went to the Picasso Museum and the Delacroix Museum. And there's also a Statue of Liberty in Paris. It was made the same time as the Statue of Liberty in the US. And so they look identical. I'm not really sure if there's anything different about one or the other. But it was kind of a far walk. But it was just something interesting to me, so I kind of went out of my way to go see it. The Picasso Museum and the Delacroix Museum, those were two places that, I was just wandering around the city and I saw them. They were on my museum pass, and so I thought, why not? I had time. And so, I spent like 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes in them, kind of just checking them out. So not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily recommend going to those museums in particular, but I would recommend putting in your schedule time for, flexibility and just having the ability of seeing a random museum. There are multiple times I saw random churches and I would just go in and there would always be stained glass or famous artists who had painted frescoes, just things that you can't plan for. But that really end up being sort of, highlights of your trip. So definitely leave time in your schedule to be flexible, and to be able to throw those things in there. Last, but not least, is definitely visit the La Mairie section of Paris. And there's one street in particular I'm sure you've seen on Instagram, or just on the internet period, is Rue Cremieux. And this is a street with really colorful townhouses. There's tons of flowers and greenery. And I would go to argue and say that it's just as beautiful in person as it is on Instagram. It's one of the rare occasions where they kind of match up. It was a really cool spot. And even if you make it there and you say, this place sucks, like this was not a great recommendation. The walk from the Louvre, which is where I was staying, to La Marais was a really nice walk in and of itself. So, even if you don't like that section of Paris, I think you'll really enjoy the walk there either way. So, with that being said, that's all that I really have on my itinerary. I did hit all of those places in 6 days on my week in Paris. There were a few smaller things that I'm not putting on here to recommend just because they were kind of random here or there. And so, these are all, if you're willing to put in some really full days, you can definitely hit this all in a week. You can hit more or you can hit less. You can add some of your own. You can take out whatever you want. But these are my sort of main things that I really enjoyed in Paris. Would definitely recommend, at least considering to put in your itinerary. Right, so jumping into the logistics of this thing. First off, I'm going to reiterate the Paris Museum Pass. That will save you so much time. So much hassle, and it really just frees up your schedule and allows you, the opportunity to jump into those random museums without worrying about the cost. It allows you to go to the Louvre multiple times without worrying about, paying for a ticket multiple days in a row. And there's different ones. I believe there's a 3 day, 5 day, and maybe an 8 day. And I got the longest one. I think it was 8 days, and it cost me around $85. Obviously, the 5 day and 3 day would be cheaper. I went to the Louvre, like I said, 5 times, and that more than covered the price of the Paris Museum Pass. So right there, just going to the Louvre every single day, I saved money, and everything else that I did was basically free. And so really everything on the itinerary that would have cost me money was on the Paris Museum Pass. The Eiffel Tower going up to the top would not have been on the Paris Museum Pass, but once again, I did not do that. But like Versailles was on there, the Arc de Triomphe was on there, all three of those museums were on there. Picasso Museum, Delacroix Museum, those were all on there. And so, it's definitely, worth your while to buy the Paris Museum Pass. Like, I cannot recommend that thing enough. So next, hotels. I once again bought everything really last minute. And I really, I put a real importance or a real value on where I'm located relative to the things that I want to see. So I'm a really cheap traveler, but I am willing to pay a premium for location in certain situations. And so I knew I was going to be in the at the Louvre a lot, and the Louvre is pretty central. And so my hotel was around $60 a night. Once again, this was last minute. I have not really done research to see, how much it would be now, like looking in the future. But it was a really small room. It had a sink and a bed. That's about it. The shower and the toilet were in the hall. So, not necessarily the greatest setup. But honestly, I would probably do that same thing again, for the location. I was literally a block away from the Louvre. And it made just all my sightseeing very convenient. The location was great. Next up, we have flights. Now, my flight was pretty expensive looking back on it. It was around $1,500 round trip. It was from my little local airport. I did not drive to like the big international airport. I'm near where I live. It's about 2 hours away, but I decided to fly there instead. And so it was around $1,500. But just today, I went on and did a little quick pricing. And so for a random date in like February, a Saturday to a Saturday, is around $700 round trip from DFW. So Dallas, Fort Worth, pretty big airport, $700 round trip. If I went ahead and looked forward to spring break, which is when I went back in 2018, it bumped up to $1,100 round trip from DFW. However, I'm a big advocate for doing the legwork myself. And so I'm not afraid to piece together itineraries and airline tickets to save me some money. And so I did a little reconnaissance, and I always find flying to Europe from the US. The big airports to fly out of are either Chicago O'Hare, JFK in New York, Newark in New Jersey, and surprisingly, I found some pretty good fares out of Boston Logan. But really, it's those first three: Chicago, New York, or New Jersey. And so I looked up a flight from Newark, New Jersey to Paris, and round trip for spring break. It was $420, which is amazing. Like, if you live in New York or on the East Coast, like, you should be in Europe every other weekend. Like, it's so cheap to fly back and forth from to Europe if you live on the East Coast. It's ridiculous. So $420 round trip. And then I found a flight from DFW to Newark that would line up with those dates for $190. So just doing the legwork myself and splitting up those two portions of the flight, I went from $1,100 to $610. So that's a savings of almost $500 simply for buying two airline tickets instead of one. Now, you have to make sure your layovers work and give yourself some extra time because the airlines aren't going to refund you because they didn't make a mistake if you cross your wires up. But definitely recommend doing the legwork when it comes to buying airline tickets yourself, because you will save big 99% of the time. And it took me like 30 seconds to plug in an extra leg of a trip into like Skyscanner. So definitely do a little bit of the work yourself. Food, I think I spent like $40 one day on a really nice fancy meal just because I wanted to, feel bougie in Paris and have a really crazy nice dinner. But then, one night I went to a French McDonald's and got like a hot dog and potato wedges because it was weird, and I like to see what different countries McDonald's have. You can spend anywhere from like $5 to, $100, I'm sure, for a meal in Paris. That's really up to you and your preferences. And so that's one of the areas of, especially this trip, where your prices can really fluctuate. So I'm not really going to put a solid figure on that, but I'd say, if you want to, you can spend $10, $15 a meal. Meals are not going to be crazy cheap, but they're going to be, pretty American prices, just depending on where you go, and what your standards are for, eating out on a vacation. So all in all, my trip, when I took it, and once again, it was last second, everything I booked was within like 2 weeks of actually going. It cost me $2,500 for this trip. $2,500 is about the max I will spend on a week-long trip. That was my very first solo trip, and so, I didn't really have too many standards put into place. Looking at what the airline flights are now, and I realize we're in a pandemic, so, it might go up a little bit once hopefully this all gets situated and settled. But I really think you could take this trip with some pre-planning for close to $2,000, especially if you live on the East Coast, definitely under $2,000, all expenses, everything included there. $2,000, I feel like, is a really, is a pretty good cost for a nice week-long international trip. So $2,000 for a week in Paris, definitely think that's worth it. A good deal, not gonna break the bank. It's a pretty comfy, it's a nice trip for $2,000. So definitely not gonna kill the bank there. And you have quite a few comforts that you'll get for that price point. Final tips for your Paris trip. I actually have four here. I had three, and then I forgot to mention something in the itinerary. So if you held out until the end, you're gonna get one last tip here. One of the last things that I would recommend is going to the Galeries Lafayette. Now, this is close to the Opera House in Paris, and it's a mall, a shopping center, and it's really famous for, they usually have some sort of art piece hanging from the middle of the mall in the huge dome. And like during Christmas time, they'll have a Christmas tree hanging up. They just had some random art pieces when I was there. So I really stopped in just because of that. And that was cool in and of itself. But if you take the escalator up to the top, they actually have a restaurant on the roof, and there's a viewing deck. And this viewing deck arguably has one of the better views in Paris for free. You can see from the Arc de Triomphe to the Eiffel Tower to Notre Dame all in one view. And it makes some really great panoramic shots. I did not know that this viewing platform was there. And so I was really taken aback when I went up to the roof and I could just see from, like, see the entire city. So definitely recommend going to the Galeries Lafayette. Just take a little pit stop in there when you're walking around. I think I went on the way back from Moulin Rouge. It was just on the way and I stopped in. Definitely worth it. A great view of the city, and it's free. So that's probably one of my top tips. Next, number two, is the Paris Museum Pass. I'll say it one more time. This will save you money. It will allow you to be flexible. You can skip lines at most places with that pass. And it's just so worth it for multiple reasons. And so if you gain one piece of knowledge from this podcast, definitely buy the Paris Museum Pass, whether you buy the 3 day, 5 day, or 8 day. It will be totally worth it, and you will not regret buying that. If you go to more than five museums on your trip, you will save so much money by buying that pass. Number three, I really recommend walking while you're in Paris. They definitely have a good metro system. I took it from the airport to downtown. I took it to Versailles. So, you know, you're not going to save like a ton of money by not using the metro. It's not that expensive. But Paris is so compact, and there are so many cool things that you did not plan for that you'll just randomly run into. And you know, if you take the metro from point A to point B, you miss C, D, E, F, and G along the way. And so I definitely recommend walking. Paris is a pretty easy place to walk. Besides like Sacré-Cœur, which is up on, you know, that hill, everything else is pretty easy walking. I would walk, you know, like 15 miles a day, honestly. And you know, I'd be pretty tired by the end of the day. But you know, I was ready to go in the morning, you know. So if you're able to, definitely I would recommend walking at least a little bit. I don't think you'll regret it, and you will just see so much more of the city that way. And you'll really just discover Paris in a whole new light if you, you know, visit by foot instead of hopping in a cab or taking the metro or whatever other options there might be. So definitely walk. I would totally recommend doing that at least a little bit on your trip. Finally, my last tip is be flexible. You know, especially when you're walking from place to place and you have the Paris Museum Pass, you know, you see a museum, you see a church, you see some random park. And if you're strapped for time, if you're on a, you know, strict itinerary with times and dates and all that kind of stuff, you're not gonna have time to really just like relax and enjoy all that Paris has to offer. So definitely be flexible, put time in your schedule, in your itinerary to just relax. And so, you know, if you see those random things that interest you know, you don't have to be like, crap, I can't go see that. You know, you can kind of take time, take a small detour here and there, 15, 20 minutes to go check out this random museum. Take, you know, 20 minutes to sit back, relax, people watch in the park. You know, just be flexible. You're on vacation, enjoy yourself. And Paris is a place where you just have to you take your time and not constantly be on the go. All right, so that's my top four tips for a Paris trip. You know, once again, Paris is an amazing city. Definitely makes my short list of places that I want to visit again, and hopefully that will be pretty soon. If you need visuals for this podcast, feel free to check out my Instagram at educateyourtravel. There's several photos uploaded there, and then I also have a story, a saved story for each one of my trips. So check out the France story. Basically, my entire itinerary is represented there. So you can see pictures from all these places. While you're there, drop me a line, leave a comment, leave some feedback about the podcast. Let me know if there's something that I didn't add to the itinerary that should be there, or something that I put on there that you don't agree with, and let me know why. Thank you so much for joining me today. And until next time, don't forget it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, and go on that next adventure.